You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, just a quick reminder that if you're going to be making any purchases on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, please go to www.9to5.cc first and click the links in the sidebar or at the bottom of the page to support the site. It makes no difference to you, but it really helps us out a lot. Enjoy the show. Thanks. This is Monday's episode of 9to5 Ghost of Fantasia. We're catching up to the movies that we saw.
Yeah, we are.
And you saw Closer to God.
That's right.
And Once Upon a Time in Shanghai.
I saw both those films.
I saw none of those films because I was at Just for Laughs.
Well done.
If you like Just for Laughs, we have three Just for Laughs podcasts that are also up on 9to5.cc. Go listen to those. They're awesome.
Right.
But this is about Fantasia.
I'm so happy to talk about both these movies because I fucking loved both of them.
We talked about a little bit at the beginning of the festival, and this is going to sound a little bit like fan service.
Okay.
How sometimes when you're going through the Fantasia book and you realize that it's Mitch that wrote the little blurb, very often it's a good fucking film.
I've been on a Mitch run, man. Like, out of the last five or six movies, I think they've all been Mitch movies. Like, I Am a Knife with Legs was there, Bag Boy, Lover Boy, and more that we're going
to
do.
Well, Closer to God, too, no?
Closer to God, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they're all Mitch movies, and that boy's got good taste in films.
Righto.
So,
Closer to God.
Closer to God was another clone movie.
More clones.
Are you ready for this? Brilliant genetic scientist, Dr. Victor Reed. Pick two scientists. Victor and Reed were talking about cloning, creating new life.
Well, I mean, there's Victor Von Doom, and then there's Reed Richards.
Good.
I don't know.
Okay, so Reed Richards was my pick for the Reed in the last name, and Victor was Victor Frankenstein.
Oh.
So
I got
anyway,
Victor Von Doom.
Yeah, I see where you
I stuck with Marvel.
On that one. Anywho, he has created a successful clone of a human being.
Okay.
Calls her baby Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the media finds out about this thing, flips out. Wants to arrest him, and they don't even know what laws they're going to arrest him on. They're just like, this guy cloned a person that should be illegal or something. A huge pack of human beings shows up at his house to protest him being a monster and the abomination he has created in the eyes of God.
And this is all like early in the film?
This is like the setup. There is a very dark history to this man that gets revealed over the course of the film, darker than cloning a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an incredibly tense thriller
mm-hmm.
that succeeds on like five different levels.
Crazy.
It was astonishing. I was like so pleased moment through moment all the way through the film. There was never a point where I was like, oh, this is kind of bored, or okay, this is the bit they're doing now. I guess we just kind of got to get through this to get to the next bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was just great.
Cool. Once Upon a Time in Shanghai?
Once Upon a Time in Shanghai was a kung fu action drama about...
Man, we keep giving Kung Fu a chance.
We do. And in this particular case, I am so pleased that I gave Kung Fu a chance because this also delivered. So the plot of the film in general is that there's these four crime lords who are in charge of Shanghai.
Mm-hmm.
They've like divvied it up four ways. And I didn't quite catch if it was like one of the four who became the like upstart or if there was like another guy who was an upstart. Pretty sure
mm-hmm.
it was one of the four. He just like starts taking over all kinds of territory with his superior kung fu skills.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. He boots out the other three so that he's got like half of the city, and then the other three have half of the city to divide between the three of them. And the other three are like old guard, and he's like young and whatever.
Okay.
And then this young country boy with superior kung fu shows up in town, and he's just trying to get work and be the innocent whatever, but he gets, of course, embroiled in...
It's like, I'll just get work in the docks.
That's right. He wants to go in and huff boxes, but of course, his superior kung fu is called into action, and
right.
he is forced to punch very many men.
Right.
And, of course, he enters into conflict with the upstart crime boss.
Crazy.
So, it sounds like the stereotypical setup. In a ton of ways, this was stereotypical, but, like we talked about in another film, not quite delivering on the action scenes. This one absolutely did. The action was brilliantly shot. The kung fu was like a joy to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one little thing. Guy tries to punch another guy.
Mm-hmm.
He does a counter move. That counter move gets countered. That
mm-hmm.
counter move gets countered.
Yeah.
So you're at three levels of counter, and then the guys stop and look at each other and are like, yeah, that was great. You know,
we did it, guys.
The directorial skill that it takes to show the viewer that moves are getting countered is exceptional to me anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe that's normal in Kung Fu moves. I don't see that many. But it felt incredible in this. And the fact that the actors had that moment of like, yeah. And then you're like, yeah, that was amazing. Everybody in the world is like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like a joy to watch this whole movie.
Yeah.
So
it's like when you're playing video games and you like counter back and forth and you're like, yeah, buddy. Like, yeah. You're just excited.
You're so happy for each other for having pulled it off.
Exactly.
You know? Like, it's great. So, and then the other cool thing, they filmed this whole movie with this weird, like, grayscale kind of filter on the whole thing that gave it a really cool old-timey sense to it.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple of elements of the film where color punched through.
Mm-hmm.
So he has this, like, jade armband that his mom gave him to remind, and it's like big and thick and heavy,
mm-hmm.
and it's there to remind him never to punch people too hard because you can kill them with your fist. he says at one point in the film that he punched a cow and killed it with one punch, and then the guy he's talking to is like, so you killed a cow? I kill a cow every day. I eat steak.
Yeah.
And, you know, but anyway, like that, the jade, the green jade,
yeah, yeah, always pops
through, right?
Yeah.
The red lips on the opera singer where they punch through the filter, and so like it gives a really good old timey vibe to the whole film that you would think, and I guess as I'm describing it might sound a little trite or boring or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but I think it really added to the film for some reason. The other thing, the main character, I think he uses Wing Chun, I think that the Bruce Lee martial arts style, and certainly he models his hair after Bruce Lee. He has that same like intensely wiry
look. Yeah.
He does like the flying wata kicking and whatever, and it was a joy. It was a joy to watch this movie. I was so happy with it. And I normally can't stand these films, so
yeah,
outstanding.
So who would you recommend these two films to?
So Closer to God, the recommendation, it was absolutely a cerebral thriller.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be ready to get like into a very intense, dark thriller.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be ready for that. If you're not ready for that, this movie, either like you're going to not let the intensity build, you're going to like turn up the lights and then walk out of the room and
mm-hmm.
maybe have a popcorn or something, and it'll like distract you. You got to let yourself get dragged into it. And also, the film avoids unambiguous villains, unambiguous characters, with the exception of one that I'll talk about in the spoilers, but really like there's no real super huge bad guy, and even the guys who are put forward as bad guys are given understandable motivations.
Right.
So it's really like it's thoughtful, and
mm-hmm.
the characters are good.
Like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but without any of the yeah.
Well, without the sides of it, but it's just but it's just like how everybody has their motivations,
yeah.
and it's like some of them might seem like they're bad guys, but you're like, no, they're more at odds with another character
yeah.
than actually a bad guy.
And even the like protagonist to the story, who's certainly the Dr. Victor, he makes very bad decisions, regrets
mm-hmm.
them, laments them, tries to do better. Like it's really quite a good story. The whole thing is a play on the like the Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For sure. Not a question, but it's done exceptionally well. I will also note that the performances, normally when you see these like cheapy sci-fi thriller
mm-hmm.
whatever kind of flicks, the performances are a little eh and you give them a pass.
Mm-hmm.
In this the actor for Mr. Reed, whose name I'm looking at here, Jeremy Childs, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He was outstanding. I can't believe how cool he was. Totally pulled it off. Super believable, did bad things. I still rooted for him.
Cool,
love it, buddy. Good movie. Closer.
Do you have a comparison where you'd if you were to compare it to another movie?
Mm.
If you enjoyed X, you would enjoy Closer to God.
I'm gonna say Primer. Think Primer, but
Primer, the go-to comparison.
The go-to comparison for sci-fi thrillers, indie sci-fi thrillers. But in a sense, like dial up the intensity of the thriller aspect
mm-hmm.
and dial down the sci-fi.
Okay.
Off of Primer.
Right.
One other thing that absolutely like is required mentioning here, Closer to God had some of the most intense music that I've ever heard in a thriller.
Okay.
It was like overwhelmingly loud at some points, had this like staccato heartbeat theme that coursed through the whole movie,
mm-hmm.
and it was fucking amazing.
Awesome.
The music sold all kinds of scenes that I think otherwise would have come off as corny or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was like it was a work of art, the music.
Crazy.
Yep.
And Once Upon a Time in Shanghai just seems like if you like Kung Fu, it's fucking top notch.
This is a top notch Kung Fu movie. I was so sad Sophie wasn't there. I wanted to see her be a giddy little girl
in
the face of this. It was even like if you have not seen a Kung Fu movie in a really long time, you're like, huh, I wonder what those guys are getting up to. I bet they're doing pretty good. People have been making Kung Fu movies for a while now.
Yeah, exactly.
This is it. Go check it out. In the same sense of like, remember when Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon came out and all of a sudden fucking everybody could get into Kung Fu. This isn't quite as like approachable because there's less of the like love story, although it's there, but it's like less of a focus in the tale.
Okay.
it's almost at that level of approachability. It was wonderful, fun, high-paced action.
Okay.
Good stuff. You want spoilers?
I guess so. I didn't see these movies, so
yeah,
it's just going to be...
I want to spoil.
All right,
things.
Go, wait.
These are the spoilers.
Okay. So, Closer to God. The big twist, okay? So this girl, the baby, gets picked up by the media, but she's special for two reasons. Number one, she's the second human clone.
Okay.
The first one was a hideous, deformed monster that Victor ended up giving over to his housekeepers because he told everybody in the lab, everybody, whatever, okay, I'm just going to let this thing die. I'm gonna kill this thing. It's an abomination. We can do better. We're going to make sure the DNA works out next time.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the heart to kill it. So he gives it to his housekeepers who live on his, like, big estate, right? And then he's just like, okay, you two just raise this thing like your son and... Or don't, whatever, I don't care, just like, I can't bear to kill it.
Just wash your hands of it.
Just wash your hands of it. So this thing grows up, but it is like a freaking monster, fucking scary, superhuman strength, terrifying, whatever.
Right.
And then
like Penny Dreadful.
Yeah. And then when Elizabeth comes around, he alters her DNA to be superhuman so that she is stronger, faster, smarter, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout the course of the film, she stays as a baby. And then when she gets caught in all the media fracas, whatever, at the hospital where she's being protected, he brings her back to his mansion to take care of her.
Mm-hmm.
But the other abomination child gets loose and starts killing people and things and is, like, threatened in a weird way by this baby.
Mm-hmm.
So the climax of the film is like, the monster getting a hold of the superhuman baby and Victor being caught in the middle trying to whatever. And so, like, do I go all the way and spoil the end?
No, you don't have to.
I don't have to. I'm not going to. It's like, that alone, the fact that there's like a first monster baby is enough of a spoil. That shows that there's more going on here.
Yeah.
What's great?
And the fighting with the morality of the creator and all that stuff. Yeah.
And like, he made a terrible choice in letting this monster baby live. Like, it has no redeeming features. It's just a force of nature. But the viewer is like twisted into thinking that, oh, you know, maybe it just needed to be loved. And so it's like, in a sense, because it doesn't have redeeming features, it's a twist.
Yeah.
Like the Frankenstein story, the monster is redeemable and whatever.
Yeah.
So that's great. The protesters who show up, the like townsfolk with the torches like that thing, they do like interview clips of these people, and some of them are like, I just want to make sure the baby's okay. It like all the reports I've heard says that he's not really taking care of her. He's subjecting her to tests all day. I don't care about the morality of making clones. I want the baby.
It's a baby.
It's a baby. You know. And then some people are like, yeah, this is an abomination in the face of God. And other people are like, are you kidding me? I have degenerative brain diseases. This the only way to fix that is with research that's going to happen through cloning. This has to happen for humanity to advance. You know. It provides the full spectrum of responses to the stuff. And, like, I'm going to say it again, Jeremy Childs' performance as Victor is just so... He's, like, at some points you're like, oh, this man is like, the despicable, cold scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And there's scenes of him with his two daughters where he's like, oh, man, he's such a nice family guy. you're like, you're torn between the two sides of him. It was just so rich, man. Delightful.
Shanghai,
okay, so the coolest part to this movie, to me, was my expectations, anyway, got twisted up watching it. So, obviously the setup is that the, like, upstart kung fu evil mobster guy is going to end up being the villain of the story, fighting against the, like, small town kung fu hero, or whatever. Obvious setup, super clean. But then, they show, like, 100 scenes of the kung fu upstart gangster kicking the shit out of 100 people. Nobody can stand up to his kung fu. And then he fights with the young guy, or the farmer.
Farmer guy.
They can actually fight each other. And they fight each other to a standstill. And at the end, they just, like, laugh, and they're, like, best friends. And they spend the rest of the movie as best friends. They're the only guys who can stand up to each other. Right?
Okay, but
who's the villains? It becomes the other three guys, the other three gangsters, who it turns out are working with the Japanese to let the Japanese come in and take over Shanghai.
Okay.
So then the Japanese become the villain, you know? And there was a couple of other ones that, I'm not even going to spoil it, because they're minor enough that, like, you expect X is going to happen, Y totally happens.
Exactly. It's like they've made the same kung fu movie enough times that you, like, your expectations are, like, firmly set, and then the guy's just sort of like, it's a little different.
Yeah, like the romance thing has a little fun twisty stuff.
Okay, cool.
And the final showdown is between, like, Japanese dude with a fucking katana that, like, cuts through statues and shit. against this guy, bare hands, with his, like, hand that can punch a cow to death. It's just so good.
Awesome.
Yeah. I don't really want to say much more about it. I would, like, delightful kung fu punching.
Kung fu punching.
Yep.
All right, kick ass.
Kick ass. What's coming up next, Keith?
We watched Let Us Pray. You watched
Devil's Mile.
The Devil's Mile.
So tune in next day for The Devil's Mile.
Tune in next day. All right, everybody. Hey guys, it's me again. Just a quick reminder, 9to5.cc is a fan-made, fan-supported website. That means we don't have any sort of an advertising budget. The only way we really have to get our name out there is by our fans sharing us, liking us, and supporting us. So if you enjoy what we're doing, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're there, tell your friends that this podcast is happening, then it's a lot of fun. Also, if you like what we're doing, we do have a podcast for the rest of the year, John and I, called 9to5 Entertainment System that we do with the other founders of the sites, Scott and Sophie, and we also have another podcast that we do through the rest of the year called Go Plug Yourself, for myself and Walter J. Ling, talk to people that have interesting stuff coming up in Montreal. So once again, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, we're on both of them. If you see us at the festival, come say hey, and keep listening and keep enjoying the show. We're going to try to keep having episodes pretty much on a daily basis. Fantasia's been so great so far, so yeah, I'm done. Here we go. Thanks for listening.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you? Thanks for listening.